In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Throughout the ages, the focus of God's people has rightly been upon the Lord and upon his passion. And this is passion not in the sense of a sort of an intense emotion, which is the way that we normally hear that word and use that word today, but rather passion in the sense of the agony and suffering of the Holy Cross. Whenever in our history that the Christian people have lost sight of the Holy Cross, it's then that things would start to go badly for us. For example, the Crusades, and also the simony in the early and the high Middle Ages, when bishops and priests were fighting for secular, for worldly power, and then later on in the teachings of indulgences and the like. So today, on this Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, the Christian people, wherever they may be in this world, even quarantined in their homes, turn their gaze more intensely to Jesus and to his Holy Cross. Because Jesus sets his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. And as he enters, comes the shouts of Hosanna and joy, but then just mere days later, what do we have? We show how fickle our hearts truly are. And these very same people shout out for his blood. Crucify him, they shout. Crucify him. So today on Palm Sunday, Jesus' focus was on one thing, our salvation. Because not only does Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, he sets his face to go to Golgotha. He sets his face to go to his cross and his throne. And so this is where our focus should be as well. Because the cross is not just the door or the altar through which God opened and offered up his life for ours. The Holy Cross is also something that he's mercifully bequeathed to everyone who would follow after him. There is a cross for every one of us. If anyone would come after me, he says, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and do what? Follow me. We are a people of shortcuts and cliff notes. But the whole meaning of the cross involves not just the death of Jesus. It involves also those who've been died for, right? That's the part we don't really care for all that much. The Holy Cross of Jesus marks us forever. That's why even the very earliest Christians made the sign of the cross on their bodies, as if to say, I belong to the crucified Lord. I have his brand, I have his mark on my body. I am a sheep in the good shepherd's flock forever. So go ahead right now and just try it out. Make the sign of the Lord's brand on yourself. My pastor and catechist, when I was a boy, taught me to make the cross. He said, take your right hand, and he said, you go head, heart, watch, and wallet. Head, heart, watch, and wallet is what he said. So up, down, left, right. The Holy Cross of Jesus is to be the focal point, the lens through which we see and interpret everything else. And so we look at the world now knowing that God loves it and us so much that he would give his own life to save it. The cross should cause us to view everything differently. Because it shows us that God has died for us, that he has purchased us with the price of his own blood. And that had better change our outlook on things. If it doesn't, then it's nobody's fault but our own. If it doesn't change the way that you look at your neighbor, at the homeless, at the beggar, at sickness, at plague, at how you raise your children, if it doesn't change the way that you look at death, then you need to look again. And if it doesn't change things the second time that you look at the Holy Cross of Jesus Christ, then you better pinch yourself and make sure you're still breathing. That Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, hangs from a cross changes everything. Bread and wine by his word are manna come down from heaven. That beggar that we pass on the side of the road isn't someone that we scoff at and say, oh, I bet he makes more money than I do. That beggar becomes an opportunity to minister to Jesus Christ himself, who says, whatsoever you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. And death, well, what about death to people looking at it through the lens of the Holy Cross? We cry out with our brother Paul, O death, where is thy sting? Because for you, O saints of God, it's nothing more than the entrance, the foyer, on the way to your Father's house. Because Jesus has made it for you the gate to eternal life. The cross is to always be at the forefront of not only our hearts, but also of our minds. The hymn beckons us to survey the wondrous cross. The cross is to be our refuge. Many of us have sought refuge in the shadow of the cross. I mean, you probably wouldn't be here today if you hadn't at some time or another clung to the hope of the cross. I certainly wouldn't be where I am today, that's for sure. My brothers and sisters, cling always to Jesus and to his cross. Throw your arms around him. Hold on to the crucified King for dear life, because your life is dear. Don't you know that it was purchased at a great price, and that price is spattered all over the Holy Cross? Look to it. It seeps into the ground at Golgotha. And lastly, the cross is used as a weapon, and the Holy Church does use it as a weapon. How many times have we stood at the baptismal rite, participated in the baptismal rite, and prayed that all satanic powers flee before the Holy Cross? The pastor that baptized you stood against all of the forces of hell and declared Christ's victory for you. The word of God was wielded on your behalf in the most threatening of ways. And in our tradition, the pastors even make the sign of Jesus' cross in the water. The cross is the thing that we use in exorcisms. The cross is mighty against evil. Evil flees before it, because in the cross they see their defeat. As I mentioned earlier, from the very earliest times, Christians who were experiencing temptation, Christians experiencing the onslaught of Satan, have made the cross mark on their body, oftentimes right above the brow. The traditional German way of making the sign of the cross was to do it three times, right on your head and on your mouth and then on your heart. Christ be on my mind, Christ be on my lips, and Christ be on my heart. And some of you do that with me at the announcing of the gospel every Sunday, and I love to see that. It's not some sort of strange, weird Christian magic. It's the way that we bless ourselves. Because the Bible says that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. The work of Jesus Christ on the cross is most certainly a weapon against the devil. And so we hold high in our hearts and our minds the cross of Jesus as our focal point, as our refuge, and as our weapon, mighty against the forces of evil. Those of you who seek to follow after Jesus, to follow him more closely, must be driven deeper into the cross, hammered and fastened to it by the Holy Spirit. The call of faith, the call to pick up your cross and follow after me, is the call of the Holy Spirit. It's his call to endure all things for the sake of the gospel, no matter what it costs you. Through the laying on of hands at confirmation, the Holy Spirit fortifies you in his sevenfold gifts, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and piety, the spirit of holy fear in the presence of the Lord. Now, it's the gift of might that I think has to do the most with the cross. The gift of might is also called fortitude. And along with being one of those sevenfold gifts of the Spirit, it's also one of the four cardinal or chief virtues. It's the gift given to the martyrs that allows them to stand and suffer death rather than to renounce Christian faith, rather than to renounce knowing Jesus Christ. It's that gift that Peter didn't have at the time when he denied Jesus, but was given later. It's like steel-clad armor of the soul that makes one a mighty warrior of God. And that is exactly what we need nowadays in this debaucherous and decadent culture that's always under the threat of death. We need warriors who are unbending, unyielding to the ways of the world and the ways of Satan. This is the gift that allowed every one of our brothers and sisters in the Colosseums to stare down death in the face as they were torn to pieces, limb from limb, by wild beasts. And this is my point. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, if you're going to be a Christian, one who picks up and bears the cross, then it's all or it is nothing. Our God is a jealous God, and He will not have just part of you, praise be to God. You will serve but one Master, the one who bled and died for you, and Him alone. None of this, well, you know, maybe I'll follow you tomorrow, Jesus. Or maybe I'll live my life like you love me and you died for me. I'll pick up my cross tomorrow, Jesus. Not today. It's too inconvenient with everything going on in my life today. That's not what the life of a follower of Jesus Christ looks like. We are not cowards. We are not weak-willed or incapable. Because don't you know that we are Christ's own champions? In Him, we are more than conquerors. And literally, by God, warriors do not think that way. You got to trim the fat, get in shape. You've got a race to run, a cross to bear, and it's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. I mean, justification was easy, right? Christ did that for you. He has declared you righteous before God. The hard part for us is living the justified, cruciform, cross-shaped life. Not rejecting it by what we do or by what in our sloth we don't do. And I guess maybe this is arguable, but I don't think that I am as naive as the clergy are portrayed in Hollywood, or really any media. I know it's hard living the life of a Christian. It's hard living life under the weight of the cross. It's hard to say, not my will, Father, but Your will be done. Not what I want, but what You want. I mean, that's hard to say. Because there's a death involved in that. Because you die to yourself and you live to Jesus Christ. Anyone who's ever told you that Christianity is just about being nice or just about being a good person, whatever nebulous thing that means, either didn't know what they were talking about or they've just plain lied to you. That is not what Christianity is about. There was only ever one truly good person that walked the face of the earth, and we nailed him to a tree. Christianity is about that man and about his cross. And by it, his victory over hell and death and Satan for us. There will inevitably be a first time after you're hearing this call to arms that I'm giving you today that this gift of might or courage or fortitude is going to be put to the test. The forces of Satan in this world are going to test the strength of your armor, and they're going to test the character of the one who's wearing it. And the demons are clever and cunning in such a way that you don't even recognize them for what they are. But a lot of times, though, it's not forces so dark as the demonic that seek to pull you away from your confession of the faith. I mean, we like to blame everything on the devil, of course, but a lot of times, it's those whom we love and trust, our friends and even our family, that bring evil before us. So be on guard always. You never know when your enemy is going to strike. But whoever it may be from wherever it comes, when it happens, and it most certainly will, and often, you must stand unmoved, never denying before men who your master is and where your loyalty is first. You belong to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Don't you ever forget that. You are branded with the Son's cross forever. Being a disciple, being a Christian, demands your soul, it demands your life, it demands your all. It's not for the weak-willed or the lazy. And so, my brethren, prepare yourselves for war. And start with the sign of the Holy Cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.